Tov Shin Chof Ches. That's where I'm starting. First page looks familiar, I would imagine. Tov Shin Chof Ches. Mo'oire, the Rebbe encourages reminds people al dvar hachil regarding the obligation al Yehudi Artis Abris, Jews living in America, lenatzel hashpos hamedina, to utilize the influence of the country al kol ha'olam, over the whole world. The Rebbe felt, and I'm sure to some extent still feels, that America has an incredible influence on the world. Because since we are a Moshe Bekeeper, we are the richest nation in the world, and at this point, without a question, the most powerful nation in the world, we are in a position to lead. I don't know if you keep up with all the material that comes out from GEM, but GEM gave out a number of videos called Faithful and Fortified, which is about the Rebbe's relationship with himself, which are really wonderful, wonderful videos. And in those videos, one of the things that the Rebbe says is that the fact that Iran had the chutzpah to start up with America, the fact that they simply had the chutzpah to start up with America shows on the weakening of American prestige. This is 1979. Tov Shin Lamed Tes. The Rebbe felt for many years after World War II that America wasn't just a powerful nation, it was a very, very well-respected nation. And consequently, they had the possibility, they were in a position to favorably affect the world and other people because of their position. So the Rebbe apparently spoke, or I don't know if it was at Fabrengen's or it was in conversations with people, that America has to understand its responsibility not just in protecting the world militarily and keeping financial stability of the world, they also have to worry about the ruchnius of the world, which is that all over the world people should get educated. And as you all know, I hope that if there is a slogan that the Rebbe would use over and over again about chinuch is nicht wegen Mathematike, Chemie und Grammatik, Mathematike, Chemie und something else. Education is not about mathematics, chemistry, and physics. It's about being a mensch. And unfortunately, in our civilization, in the so-called public schools, the secular schools, you're not allowed to mention God, you're not allowed to mention morality. You're not allowed to even have a position on what is normal behavior and abnormal behavior, what's appropriate behavior, what's like for questions of tzniyus and vulgar language and inappropriate dress. It's been made treif. And of course, this was one of the great frustrations of that ever, that when you separate education from teaching people how to be mentioned, you create a sick society, and that's what we have, a sick society. So the Rebbe then spoke out about America taking a lead about chinuch, and I promise you he wasn't talking about people should get high school diplomas so they can go to college and make a living. The Rebbe was talking about teaching children not to steal, not to kill, not to lie, not to cheat, not to hurt, and so forth. Tov Shin Chof Tes. Maschil Levayer Igeres HaTshuva L'Admon HaZok. He begins to teach the Alter Rebbe's Igeres HaTshuva. This was the conversation I did with you last week about the Six-Day War. There's no doubt in my mind that after the Six-Day War, the Rebbe saw the moment of tshuva. And he said so very clearly. And I mentioned to you, I don't know if anybody looked it up, there's a sikha from Simchas Torah, Tov Shin Chof Ches, and I also think there's a sikha of Rosh Hashanah, Tov Shin Chof Ches, which was right after the Six-Day War, where the Rebbe spoke about the imminence of the coming of Mashiach as a result of, on the one hand, the tzaddis of the Holocaust and World War I. On the other hand, the incredibleness of the Six-Day War sets an opportunity to the Me'ira Yid for tshuva. And the Rebbe, one of the ways that Rebbe participated, the Rebbe's mother, the Rebbe paid for them. It was very, very important that people should kochsech and get a tshuva. And the Rebbe, for several years, every Fabrengen, Shabbos and weekday Fabrengens, spoke and get a tshuva. And as I explained to you last week, there's an incredible volume of commentary from the Rebbe and get a tshuva. And the Rebbe Sichas, for those who don't know, when you learn the Rebbe Sichas on Tanya, he revolutionizes the Tanya. You're learning a completely different, a brand new Tanya as a consequence. I'm reading on. Matzia makes a proposal. Shebechol Kenes, Shal Rabbonim, any Rabbim, anytime people get together in a group, Yashlivuhu, Imteiru, Tzedakah, people should say Advar Teira and give Tzedakah. In other words, people get together for business purposes, for social purposes, and just do whatever they have to. The Rebbe says, whenever Yidden get together, there needs to be Yiddishkeit, there needs to be a Dvar Teira, and there should be a pushka put down on the table, piece of tzedakah, never to separate Yiddish and Gashmias from Yiddish and Ruchnias. Mo'oyrer, I'm reading on, the Rebbe encourages, Shabakol Chasana, by weddings, Yikashru Hama'achalim es Echleim, the people who are coming to the wedding to greet, to wish the Chasan Kala Mazel Tov and to give gifts and so forth, in addition to giving gifts and saying Mazel Tov, in the scene of the tzedakah, they should give tzedakah, which is why by many weddings you'll see pushkas on the table and coins. The Rebbe said to many, many people, when their relatives are getting married, give tzedakah l'schusam, even brothers and sisters and cousins, so-and-so is getting married, give tzedakah, they're at the wedding, and there's chus, it's a very special day, and certainly a Chasan Kala themselves are encouraged by the Rebbe to give extra tzedakah. And one of the ideas the Rebbe had was by a wedding the people should give tzedakah. And it also says, v'taira, which means that when someone gets up on the stage in Olateira and talks, you're supposed to listen. Because it was the Rebbe's idea that an achasna is supposed to be a v'taira. It's not simple for the musicians to get a glass of water. Next, mo'oyrer oydeis chizuk shchunit shegonam hamiyudim. The Rebbe encourages about supporting communities in which Jews live. This is very cryptically worded. But this is the story of Crown Heights. It's a very, very involved story. It was an issue that the Rebbe got deeply, deeply involved in. And I'm not devoting a whole class to it, so I'll try to make this as quickly as I can. Crown Heights was a place of all kinds of Jews. When the Friedrich Rebbe settled in Crown Heights was very modern. In other words, most of the Jews who lived there were not frum. They were conservative, they were reform, whatever. After the Holocaust, after the war, tens of thousands of European Jews, Hungarian Jews, Polish Jews, Russian Jews, Western European Jews came to America to settle. And the Fruma congregated in certain neighborhoods. One of the places where Frum Yidden came to after the war was Crown Heights. The Crown Heights of the 1950s and the early 1960s was packed with Fruma Yidden, packed. There were dozens of shuls. Now, most of the Crown Heights shuls that we have, the older ones, were not built by Lubavitchers. They were built by the communities that settled here after the war. There were many, many, many shuls. I mean, people pointed to our buildings that today are warehouses and businesses and lahavdil churches. They were once shuls. Crown Heights was full of shuls. All different types of people came here, and people made shtiblach. There was a Gedish shtibl and a Babish shtibl and a this kind of shtibl. I remember Mizrahi had shuls in Crown Heights. All the more modern was full of Jews. The Baba Vereba lived in Crown Heights. The Boston Rebbe lived in Crown Heights. And the list goes on and on. Crown Heights was full of Yidden, of all types. The Skalena Rebbe lived in Crown Heights till the 1980s. What happened? And they ran for their lives. There is no way to explain the Crown Heights exodus. There were so many Yidden. And Yidden have large families, which only means that the community is going to grow. They ran from here as quickly as they could. In a few years, hundreds of mishpachas of Yidden relocated to Borough Park. What's the logic to this, and why Borough Park was superior to Crown Heights? I'll never understand. The Baba Vereba moved out. All of the Baba Chassidim moved out. The Baba Yeshiva moved. The Baba Girls School moved, and so forth. In a very short time, in less than a decade, Crown Heights went from being predominantly white and Jewish to being predominantly African American. The only people who stayed were Lubavitch. Now, people were in a rush to sell their homes because they were afraid that as the neighborhood got worse, the prices would drop. So people would literally sell their homes in the middle of the night. Nobody should know when they were selling their homes. And for the most part, they sold them to non-Jews. The Rebbe was very unhappy about this. And at the very end, 1968 or 69, is late in the game, the Rebbe finally spoke publicly. He says, "Now let him move. What kind of business? Jews don't run." And he said, "Bechlal Yidden don't run." In other words, for a Jew to move from one place to another, you're going to have to force him. Yidden don't run away from real or imaginary fears. And the Rebbe initiated an effort that people should remain in Crown Heights. And there were a number of aspects to this initiative. One was that people shouldn't allow their homes to be sold to non-Jews. Yidden should buy. The Rebbe organized something called Chevro, which is the English translation of Chevre, which meant an organization of Yidden, whose responsibility it was to see to it that as many Jewish homes remain in Jewish hands, and to give opportunity to Yidden, for whom it was hard to purchase homes at reasonable rates. And the Rebbe was very, very into the upkeep of the shechunah. There are a number of examples for this. One of them is that the Rebbe encouraged people to make weddings in Crown Heights. Nobody made weddings in Crown Heights. People went all over to make weddings. They never wanted the weddings to be in Crown Heights. And of course, along with the weddings in Crown Heights came the minute, which we keep till this day, that the chuppah is made in front of 770. When people made weddings in other neighborhoods, they didn't come here for the chuppah. But once people started making weddings in Crown Heights, people started making weddings by 770, and it's a known fact that the Rebbe used to open his window. The Rebbe participated in the chuppah without actually being there. The Rebbe once told somebody that when I sit in my room, I have more work to do than when I actually stand under the chuppah and participate. The Rebbe was sort of participating in people's weddings by the fact that the chuppah was in place in 770. It was very, very important for the Rebbe to keep up Crown Heights. Another thing was, all these shuls, which were dying, people were literally dying and moving away, and God forbid, these shuls were being sold to goyim, they were being sold to whatever. And I walk by, I'm not that old. I don't remember the 1960s, but I remember a shul, I used to see it all the time, and I walk by. You could still see the Mogen David on the gate, and it's a church. It's so painful. On Albany Avenue between President and Union. I remember that being a shul. And I can assure you, people older than myself could point at a dozen short churches. Rachman was under one's shuls. So the Rebbe said, upkeep the shuls. How did you do it? Instead of Lubavitcher's going to 770, Lubavitcher started down a local. I grew up, we didn't daven in 770. We daven in the name of Hoover, not Kahal Hasidim. And all over Crown Heights, Lubavitcher Hasidim, instead of davening with the Rebbe, began to join these shuls. And of course, as long as there are members in a shul, the shuls don't close. And there's probably 15 or 20 shuls, at least, that the Rebbe saved through this effort. And Nash davened in these shuls and eventually took over these shuls. The tradition was, the policy was, that even if there's one old member of the shul, they should continue davening the nusach that they had davened before, whether it was nusach Sfad, nusach Ashkenaz. Today, those shuls are completely taken over by Lubavitchers. Lubavitchers are responsible for the shuls. They keep up the shuls. They support the shuls.
Why
they got a nusach
hadith.
What
do you mean, why?
You're not allowed to sell a shul. You're not allowed to sell a Jewish home, but to sell a shul? And it was a major, major effort. The Rebbe invested a lot of time, a lot of money, a lot of aggravation in Crown Heights. Here, it doesn't say one word about Crown Heights. It says, Chizuk Shchuneis Shegoda Behem Yehudim. And I was walking here, thinking about this. There's a neighborhood in New York called Far Rockaway. Far Rockaway is not the Lubavitcher neighborhood. It's a relatively speaking modern Orthodox neighborhood. I know Far Rockaway because my mother grew up in Far Rockaway. My grandmother still lives there. Far Rockaway, when I was a kid, was very Jewish. And then people moved to the five towns, you know, further onto the island. And Far Rockaway emptied out. And one by one, the Yiddish home was being sold to non-Jews. And the community of Far Rockaway got together. The Rabbonim got together. And they made an initiative. Why are we giving up this neighborhood? And they spoke in their shuls. And Far Rockaway today is an Ir V'Ein B'Yisrael. They literally brought people back into Far Rockaway. They brought the shuls back into Far Rockaway. Brought the yeshivas back into Far Rockaway. Now, I don't know if they're prepared to say that this was the idea came from the Rebbe. And maybe it didn't. But clearly, this is following in this pattern. So when it says here, Shchunois Shegarim Behem Yehudim, it certainly is a reference to Crown Heights, which was a major issue of the Rebbe's Chizuk HaShchuna, but it extends beyond Crown Heights. There are other neighborhoods, Jewish neighborhoods, that have been preserved, where instead of the tendency of Jews to run away, which is the easiest thing to do, we've been doing it for 2,000 years, the Rebbe is not into running, they stayed, and they strengthened their Shchunas, and they built their Shchunas, and so forth. And I'm reading on. Miyased Shikun Nachas HaChabad Ben Sakedesh. The Rebbe made Nachas HaChabad, which is near Kiryat Malachi. I don't know where Kiryat Malachi is. I understand it's in the southern part of Israel. Never been to the Holy Land. Okay, don't know how it looks. Let me tell you the background. There were a lot of Russians coming from Russia then, the late 60s, early 70s. Mostly they were coming from the Asian lands, from Samarkand, which is, I don't know what it's called, Azerbaijan, I don't know what it's called. From the, if you'll talk one, Uzbekistan, and from Tashkent, from Bukhara, a lot of Russian came. Many, many of them were actually Lubavitcher Hasidim who had stayed from all the years. And the Rebbe decided he wanted to build for them a neighborhood where they could live, learn, and daven. And even then, the Rebbe's issue was, that many of these people were very intelligent, they were well educated, they were very intellectual, they never wanted to have their own place. So he built Nachas HaChabad in Kiryat Malachi. So I'll tell you a story which you've never heard before, because it's not well known. I had a neighbor on my back, his name was Shmuel Mutchkin, Mulad Mutchkin. There were once four Mutchkin brothers. He was the oldest. He came out of Russia in 1966 or 67. It's a whole story how he got out of Russia. It's a big mess. And the Rebbe had a very special relationship. The older Mutchkin, they never had beards. They were clean shaven. But they had such chassidish and neshamas, you can't imagine. So this Mula Mutchkin was, both of them, they were very old. They were in their 50s. And the Rebbe told them to get married and promised them that they would have families. And they both got married. They both have families, children, grandchildren, and so on. He was going to Eretz Yisrael, maybe to get married or whatever it was. So the Rebbe says to him, I'm thinking of making a community, a village for Russian Jews, and I've chosen a location, and he sends him to this place near Kiryat Malachi. Go check it out, then report back to me and tell me what you think. So he went to Eretz Yisrael, and he went to this place, and it was a desert. There were no roads, there were no public transportation, there was nothing. It was not near anything. There was no center, there was no jobs, there was no schools, there was no infrastructure. So he comes back to the Rebbe, he tells the Rebbe, I visited the place, terrible location. Anyway, the Rebbe made the... he made it right there where Mula Mutchkin told him it's a terrible location. And he laughed and he said to me, he told me the story himself, he said to me, the Rebbe asked David Deitch, Ova Sholem, to build a factory in Kiryat Malachi. He brought the Parnassa to the people. There's a family that's so-called Zeiler. Zeiler lived in America. They are, Zeiler is David Deitch's son-in-law. They built a branch of their business manufacturing plastics in Israel, and Pashut brought the jobs to the people and built Nachlas HaChabad in Eretz Yisrael. Okay, Tovshin Lamed. This is the topic for today, and of course, as always, ready for the topic at a time. Maidia, the Rebbe announces, Shebesmichas leYudshvat, that near Yudshvat, Yudshvat was Shabbos, so it had to be Friday. Yisaim was the Sefer Torah. We will complete the Sefer Torah, which was La Kabbalah's Pnei Mashiach Tzidkenu, which was made to greet Mashiach. Shehuschala, which was initiated Ayidei Kvei Kedushas Admor Mariyas Neshmas Eidim, that was started by the Friyad Ikirem. Umo'ayra, and he therefore encourages Al-Dvar Hishtatfos, that people should join Bo'oyis Yisachir Nitzvah, the very last letters. I have a letter in Mashiach Sefer Torah. I don't have a letter in the Tzivas Hashem Sefer Torah, because I wasn't ready by mitzvah. My brother has a letter of Mashiach Sefer Torah. He doesn't have a letter in the Sefer Torah of the Yaldei Yisrael, Tzivos Hashem. It's almost exactly 12 years between when they made the letter Sefer Torah for the children and Mashiach Sefer Torah. My younger sisters and brothers don't have Oisis in Sefer Torah of Kabbalah's Pnei Mashiach, but they have letters in the Sefer Torah of Tzivos Hashem. Think it's coincidental? You're welcome to. I don't think it's coincidental. This is an interesting story. I want you to open up the stack. Page 4, please. I'm skipping 2 and 3 because it's quite redundant, actually. We're reading it inside, okay? The Friedrich Rebbe had an idea. The Friedrich Rebbe had an idea. And the idea was to write a Sefer Torah, Le Kabbalah's Pnei Mashiach Tzidkenu. This is in the middle of the Holocaust. And remember that when the Holocaust was happening, the Friedrich Rebbe had a huge, passionate Mashiach campaign. The Kol Kairis, someone has to give them to you and have you read them. These four huge declarations, they're written like Nevuah, like prophecy. Long, long, long essay. Friedrich Rebbe wrote, talking about how the Holocaust is Chevli Mashiach, the Tzadis of Mashiach, and that if he don't do tshuva, they're going to get worse. The theme of those four Kol Kairis was Lialta L'tshuva, Lialta L'giyula, Yidin will do tshuva, Mashiach will come. And the Kilkeidi start off very bitter. Each later Kilkeidi is more positive. The last Kilkeidi, I think it begins with the theme, Sisu v'simchu v'simchas ha-giyula. That's where those words come from that Kilkeidi. Figure what it's a major Mashiach campaign. And if you think that Rebbe had a hard time, when he caught the Mashiach, the Friedrich Rebbe had it even harder. He was so condemned. But the Rebbe caught the Mashiach during the war years and the few years after the war, there was an incredibly obsessive an insistent priority. Mashiach is coming and we have to prepare. One of the things that happened during the war that nobody even knows at this point was there was a magazine that came out called Akriya Vakdush. Akriya Vakdush started in Tavshin Aleph, 1940, finished Tavshin Hei. And this Akriya Vakdush is a completely mysterious, weird kind of magazine All the names of the writers are pseudonyms, are fictitious. Apparently, the Friedrich Rebbe was very involved in this magazine. It came out during the war years. It's a great revelation that nobody had ever bothered reprinting. It's just one of those very secretive and mysterious things. And the four Kol Kodesh about Mashiach were published prominently in the Akiyev HaKadosha. So during the course of the war and the Koch and Mashiach, the Friedrich Rebbe had another idea. To read it inside. Second paragraph, please. Medehil von Hashem Yisbarach, with the help of God, unudem schus for mine office HaKadoshim, and in the merit of my holy fathers, Zitzuklan of Gamziah, hab ich Zegen gewesen, I merited, zu dem Gedank, to the thought. The Eibishter gave me this chus to have the idea, von werden blineder ashliach, that I should become blineder an emissary, letoivas uluschus, von Klal Yisrael, for the good and for the merit of the collection of Jews, und schreiben a spezielle Sefer Torah, to write a special Sefer Torah, which is Kabbalah's Pnei Mashiach Sefer Torah, a Sefer Torah which is for the greeting of Mashiach Tzidkenu. And the Rebbe says in Yiddish, if Makabo ponem thy Mashiach Tzidkenu, to greet Mashiach, b'mehera b'yameinu midrash. It was a great idea. We're going to make a Sefer Torah, and he's doing it on behalf of Klal Yisrael to greet Mashiach. Now the way the Sefer Torah worked was they sold letters. And I think they charged a dollar a letter. A dollar was a lot of money in 1940. They sold letters. But the money that they raised by selling letters did not pay for the Sefer Torah. The Friedrich Rebbe paid for the Sefer Torah with his own personal money, his own pocket. And the Friedrich Rebbe, by the way, didn't just have money. The Friedrich Rebbe was very, very organized with money. He separated private from public very exactly. In other words, the money Pashat came from his own, if you will, his own paycheck. He paid for the writing of the Sefer Torah. And he wanted very, very much that the Sefer Torah should be the finest of the best. Let's read the next paragraph, okay? Ubigeres Beis Ir Tavshin Beis. On Beis Ir Tavshin Beis, the Friedrich Rebbe writes, Ilas kala ilas, Fasibus kala sibus, which means God, Yisbarach Mithas, who blessed and be raised, Bizchus, Hei Tvei Kedushas, Aviseinu Rabiseinu HaKadoshim, in the merit of our holy fathers, Sibev Siba Toivo, has effected a good cause, Lizakoseini, to give me this chus, Bishlichus mitzvah ramavanasa. Do a shlichus mitzvah which is great. Lehis oider, that I should be moved myself. Ulo oider, and to move others. Lialter lechuva. This is during the war years that Yidden should do tshuva. Ulahachin atzmeinu lialter legiula, and to prepare ourselves to have the gula immediately. And in this spirit, vilichtev sefer Torah beyichud, to write a particular sefer Torah, a special sefer Torah. The Kabbalah's name Mashiach Tzidkenu, the Greek Mashiach. V'ha'yo dvar k'siba sefer ha'teira komos imadi. Initially, I thought to keep it very secretive. La'aseis ha'dov v'eifim prati, that I myself, very quietly, will write the sefer teira, I won't tell anybody. Omnom b'suda simchas teira, when simchas teira came, b'sichaseinu b'malas avas Yisrael, during the fabrein of simchas teira, Friedrich Rebbe was talking about avas Yisrael, all of a deity, he thought, how can I keep this for myself? Ha'im tzidkosi b'mishpati, am I right in my decision? L'chaseis ala emes, to conceal the truth. V'limnei rabim u'shleimim, and to prevent many and special people, hatmimim, that are sincere and whole, milihishtate, from participating, bizchus, top of the second column, hagdei lebagdesh, this great and holy zchus. And therefore, hichlatati, I decided, leidia barabim, to announce publicly, with the help of the Eibishter, hineni mit ated, I intend, lichtev sefer Torah beyichud, to write a sefer Torah, especially b'shvil kabbalas l'mashiach tzidkenu. And then a whole procedure started. It didn't start being written till Beis Iyar,
Tavshin Beis, which was 6 months later.
Okay, now, but it was by no means an easy task. Why? The Friedrich Rebbe wanted a few things. Number one, he wanted the klaf, that means the parchment of Sefer Torah, to be made in Israel. Number two, he wanted the parchment to come from animals that had been shechted and were proven to be kosher. If he did, if you're allowed to use klaf for a Sefer Torah or tefillah or mezuzah, as long as it's a min kosher. Most of the skins used for Sefer Torah and for mezuzah, they buy them in slaughterhouses where they don't shech b'chlal. In other words, the animal skins used for stam, which is Sefer Torah, tefillah and mezuzah, don't have to be from animals whose meat was eaten kosher. As long as it's a kosher min. The Rebbe insisted that there should be Kshedim, Shchutim, Chametz Yisrael, and on top of all that, he wanted Shlil. Shlil means he wanted skin from animals that were shechted and they were very, very young. Shlil means that the mother cow was shechted and they found inside the mother cow a living baby cow, and the skin is very, very, very soft. This is what the Rebbe wanted. In other words, he wanted it to be mahadrin min ha-mahadrin. Problem was, the middle of a war. So first of all, middle of a war, everything is conscripted. In other words, the government takes things away from people and gives you ration cards. You know, you have all the money in the world, you can't have more than one egg. They need it for the war. You have all the money in the world. Leather is used for shoes or for boots or for tires. Second of all, how are you going to ship them across the Atlantic in the middle of a war with the war of the Atlantic? So for a long time, they ever waited. He wrote letters to Shiloh. Shlema Yehuda Leiba Leezrev was an old, very choshva Lubavitcher chassid, asking him to prepare this for the Rebbe. After months of waiting, the Rebbe conceded that it's not going to happen. So the skins were bought in America. And they were shchutim and kshedim. The animal skins were made in America. It was also very hard to get because leather was confiscated by the army immediately, used for the war effort. And he got shchutim and kshedim, but he didn't get shlil. He got the animal skins of the Mashiach Sefer Torah were shechted and found to be kosher. But you've never picked up Mashiach Sefer Torah, right? It's unbelievably heavy. Unbelievably heavy. Mashiach Sefer Torah is one of the most heaviest Sefer Torah you'll ever lift. Because it's not made from shlul. They didn't get fine skin as the Rebbe had wanted. It's heavy and it's thick. It's whatever they were able to get, that's what they got. It's incredibly heavy. And the Friedrich of started writing Mashiach Sefer Torah. So if I'm not wrong, Beis Iyar Tovshin Gimel.
He wrote himself?
No. He hired a Sefer, whose name was Spector. And when he started writing the Sefer, the man was probably in his 60s. He was not a youngster. And the writing of the Sefer Torah started in the Friedrich of his own room. It was Beis Iyar. He came in with a cloth, with a piece of parchment. He had prepared the word Bereshit. You know how they do it. They outline the letters and you fill the color it in. And the Friedrich Eber wrote Bereshit, the first letters of Bereshit. And then he started to work on the Sefer Torah. And he worked on the Sefer Torah for many months. Many, many oisis were sold. There was a committee of three people. Rav Shmuel Levitin, Rabbi Simpson, and I forget who the third person was. There was a committee. Rabbi Levitin, Rabbi Simpson, I don't know who the person was, maybe Rabbi Jacob. Anyway, the good news is all of these people kept on living. They lived very old lives because the Rebbe gave them a task and they had to finish it. Right before the Sefer Torah was complete, mamish, they had sold most of the oasis, most of the Sefer Torah had been written. The Friedrich Rebbe says one day, cancel the project. We're not finishing. Very, very odd. Very, very, very strange. Finish. So the Friedrich Rebbe had in his apartment a closet. The Sefer Torah went into that closet and sat there for almost 30 years. There's a Himmel Shazach. What was going on? Why the Friedrich Rebbe had started and stopped? It's all very spiritual things. I will tell you as a matter of fact that this campaign, which is called the Alta L'Tshuva, the Alta L'Gyula, which is the Mashiach campaign, the Friedrich Rebbe officially stopped it. When Israel became a state in Tav Shin Ches, the Friedrich Rebbe said no more. We missed it. We missed the chance for Mashiach. The Rebbe often explained that we didn't miss the chance, it was a stage. But clearly the Friedrich Rebbe saw Mashiach, not a secular Zionist state in Eretz Yisrael. When Israel was declared a state, the Friedrich Rebbe was hoping the Mashiach would come. The Alta L'Tshuva will stop. And you can see it in the Rebbe, our Rebbe's letters. The Rebbe always used to sign his letters, L'Alta L'Tshuva Alta Gyula. Iyar Tav Shin Ches, 1948, when Israel became a state officially, he stops that Nusach Alta L'Tshuva. And 30 years passed. Then the Sheikh Chabad came up with the idea. I don't know what the idea was. Women wrote to the Rebbe in conjunction with Yud Shvat Tav Shin Lamed, which is almost 30 years since the Sefer Torah had begun, that maybe in the chus of the 20th yard site of the Friedrich Rebbe, they should finish Mashiach Sefer Torah. It was in a Sarusa Dilatat. It came from people. And the Rebbe thought about it for a long time. Apparently he went to the Oyel a few times and he hesitated. And finally the Rebbe said, I agree. Look inside on page 4 on the left. After the three asterisks. Behisvadus, page 10 of the test, in other words. B'svados Shabbos Pashas, after the asterisk. B'svados Shabbos Pashas, V'eda Gimel Shvat, one Shabbat before Yud Shvat, Hey Tov Shon Lamed, Hoidia, Tvei Kiddush Dad Mo Shlita Rebbe announces, Al Dvar Seyum Abiyam Makrev, he's going to finish the Sefer Teira. V'zel L'shoinei B'ha-Sicha, this is what the Friedrich Rebbe, the Rebbe said in the Sicha, She'nemra B'ei Seyum, which the Rebbe said at the time. Mitaim and Muvonim, says the Rebbe, for various reasons, I'm sorry, for understandable reasons, Hotman Gevolt, I wanted, as the Siyim with the Sefer Teira, at the end of the Sefer Teira, was Kvei Kedushas Muchad Morat Ongehim Shtayim, a Sefer Teira which the Friedrich Rebbe had started, Zol Zayin should be completed, B'Siyum Tkufas Esrim Shona, for Zayin Nostalgia, at the end of a period of 20 years after he passes away. And there brings a very interesting about it. The Gemara says, "Vegan Shimshin." Skip the bracket, please. Last line on the page. Kaf of Echad Oimer. Turn the page. In one pasuk, it says, "Vayish Betes Yisrael Abayim Shana." The Shimshin Agiber was a shepherd for 40 years. Because of Echad, another pasuk says, "Vu Shafat Es Yisrael Esrim Shana V'Chol." He was a judge of Yidden for 20 years. So, what was it? Was he a shepherd for 20 or for 40? And the answer is as follows: he was a shepherd only for 20. But Melamed teaches us, Shahayu aplishtim yireyim imenu chof shonalacha meisim. Shimshon Agiba's impact on the plishtim was so strong that 20 years after he died, they were still afraid of him. In other words, kederech shahayu yireyim imenu chof shonabachayav, as they feared him 20 years during his lifetime. And the Rebbe, this is a Maimon Chazal, it's well known that tzaddikim's influence in the world has a special acuity for the first 20 years after their histalkus. So, the Rebbe said, we're approaching 20 years since the Stalgos of the Friedrich Rebbe. In other words, we're still living under the influence of the Friedrich Rebbe. Let's finish the Sefer Teira in conjunction with Yud Shvat. And it was a very short time, and it was an incredible Hasidus. Unbelievable. In Israel, in America, in Europe, Lubavitch Hasidim spread out across the countryside, proverbially speaking, to get people to buy Asius and Mashiach Sefer Teira. And there were special delegations from all over the world sent to represent the various communities for the Siyum. Thursday night, these delegations went into the Rebbe's room and handed the Rebbe the Chasimus. All of the Yidden who had purchased letters of the Mashiach Sefer Teira, and by no means were they strictly Lubavitcher, the various representatives from the different communities in Israel and in Europe and Australia and South America and North Africa brought the Rebbe the papers that all the names and the money, and the Rebbe took it to them personally in Yechidus. It was very, very dramatic. Incredibly dramatic. And many people came to 770 for Yud Shvat Tov Shin Lamed. It was one of, in those days, one of the most dramatic and packed events of Lubavitch. From all over the world, people came to participate in the writing of Mashiach Sefer Teira. Now, in Tov Shin Lamed, Crown Heights still had a substantial non-Lubavitch representation. And the mood in Crown Heights was, Mashiach is coming. You could feel it. You know, a woman calls up her sister and says, you'd like to come to Lakewood for Shabbos? Says, no, this Shabbos I have to be in Crown Heights. Mashiach is coming. This really happened. The build-up to the completion of Mashiach Sefer Teira, which happened very quickly, was very, very dramatic. It was very, very exciting. People looked forward to the event. It was the way people built it up, I guess, in their own imaginations. It was very, very dramatic. The Rebbe realized what was going on. He felt the fever. He felt the passion. And the Rebbe publicly said, the Siyum Sefer Teira is going to be modest. In other words, everybody relax. Not like the Rebbe has an issue with people waiting for Mashiach, but people's visions of what was going to take place was Oizig Aveilich. So the Rebbe said, it's going to be Stilleit einfach. Now, Yud Shvat is Shabbos. So the Rebbe making the Siyum on a Friday afternoon. What time does Shabbos come in, Yud Shvat? 5 o'clock is Lichbenchen. 4:45 is Lichbenchen. There's no time. It's a tiny little day. So, people gathered in 770 on Friday afternoon for a Siyum Sefer Teira, which probably went on to 3:30. I mean, after the Siyum, there was almost no time for people to get ready for Shabbos. Let's read on. V'achen, that's exactly what occurred. Oh, let's read the next paragraph. When the far, therefore, is their siyum, the conclusion of the Sefer Teira, oich la'achere chatzei sayim, after midday, but this is besmiches, hachi efsheres, to Yud Shvat, the last few hours a Friday before Shabbos, Yud Shvat will be the Siyum. Vaspekfiyas Shanazu is es, that this year, in 1970, Tovshin Lamed, Yud Shvat was B'Shabbos Kodesh, Kibishnas Ayistalkus. Yud Shvat was Shabbos, as it was when the year the previous ever actually passed away. And that's what happened. Friday afternoon, 770, was packed. Now, not a lot of people knew, but the Rebbe had ordered a keser. And of course, how did the Rebbe order a keser? One of the Lubavitching elite, I think it was Hecht, who was involved in Judaica, was asked by the Rebbe to bring a keser for the Sefer Torah. He says, what kind of keser? So he said, bring me a variety and I'll pick. So he came to 770 at night once with a whole bunch of ksadim. I mean, you don't bring 50, but he brought probably a half a dozen or 10. And the Rebbe said, I want the base from this keser and the top from this keser. Of course, the Rebbe mixed and matched. If you, I don't know if you ever paid attention, the keser of Mashiach Sefer Torah is beautiful. It's posh, gorgeous. It's a mound and then a little mound on top. It's made of gold and it's silver. The Rebbe personally selected it. And it was delivered to 770 just on time. And when the Rebbe came down to Mashiach Sefer Torah, the image was Rabbi Simpson, who was in his 80s, was holding this very heavy Sefer Torah, walking with his body contorted, because he didn't want to turn his back to the Rebbe, who was right behind him. There's pictures of him coming down the steps, and you could see how uncomfortable the poor man is. Sefer Torah was heavy. And the Rebbe is holding a siddur and a box. Nobody knows what's in the box, or at least very few people know what was in the box. The Rebbe came downstairs, let's read inside. La'achasicha katzara, it took a few minutes. Me'ez kveit kiddush edat mashlito. The Rebbe stood up and asked Reb Shmuel of Witten, who was be'emes, a very great man, to say kapitel chav, l'mitzeach yancha, for the schus of Russian Jews and b'chval tzores. And there's a picture of the Rebbe. The Rebbe opened up his siddur, and the Rebbe was pointing in the siddur. Reb Shmuel is standing to the Rebbe's right. Reb Shmuel is reading, and the Rebbe pointed to the siddur. Everybody sat together, pasuk by pasuk, kapitel chav. It was very dramatic. And what, like I said to you, Spector, the Sefer, you can see the pictures, the man was probably well into his 90s. All the people who started the Sefer Torah finished it. Shmuel Levitin was in his 90s, Rabbi Simpson was close to 90. I'm forgetting who the third member of the Vad was, but they all was able to finish it. Okay, then they sang Vanias Akol Venigune Rabbi Seinu, they finished it, they sang the Lumod Rabbeim, Suimak Siva Sefer Torah was finished. And you could see the videos, they showed it in the Living Torah many times. The Friedrich Rebbe wrote the base. So it was understood that the Rebbe was going to make the Lamed, right? Bereshis, Leinu Kol Yisrael, I'm sure you've heard the Rebbe, this is Leiv. And the Rebbe is standing, and the seriousness in the Rebbe's face is frightening. Only the Erenskite and the Sofer Spector is sitting with his glasses and his spectacles and he's writing, and when he gets to the last os, he hands the Rebbe the pen. The Rebbe takes the pen and gives him right back. The Rebbe didn't want to write himself, he made him a shliach, he finished the Sefer Torah. Of course, when you finish a Sefer Torah, you can't roll it up, because then you'll have the ink on the back of the previous page. You have to wait. So while the Sefer Torah is laying there open, they sang Prozis Teshuv Yerushalayim, and Atareisa takes time. Hey, you girls unfortunately don't remember Hakafas. You've never heard the Rebbe say the Pesuk Atareisa, but you can hear from Yud Shvat, that there's a tape, you can hear how the Rebbe says the first pasuk, the Rashak says the second pasuk, Rebbe Chalachim says the third pasuk, and so forth. The Rebbe says Kimitzi in the last pasuk. Simchas Teshuv, we do three Atareisa. By the same, we did only one Atareisa. Then they did Prozis, and then it's the Glila to say potato. They did Glila. They gave out to Yidden to do Hagba Glila. Very, very choshev chasidim. It wasn't Shaychas on the whole potato. So you see how this old man is doing Hagba, but really somebody else is doing Hagba with him. And then the Rebbe opens the box and takes out the keset, and the room gasps. For many people, it's up to like that the keset is going on the Rebbe's head, you understand? That's how charged people were. And then I put the crown on the Sefer Torah. Now, here's what you need to understand. Lubavitcher Hasidim came from Russia, which means that Lubavitcher Hasidim were poor. So a lot of the traditions that you saw by other communities, for example, an Atora on a Talis, if you have any non-Lubavitcher Hasidic relatives, they decorate the back of the Talis with silver or gold. Lubavitcher doesn't have an Atora. Why? Kitzonius, right? No. Poverty. That's the reason. The Pashas couldn't afford it. The story was that when the Alter Rebbe was arrested, everybody took the Atoras off and gave it to help free the Alter Rebbe, and the Atoras never went back on. And the same is true with Ksarim for a Sefer Teda. In Russia, there were no Ksarim for a Sefer Teda because they couldn't afford it. So Lubavitch, you know, the Lubavitcher Minhag is that there's no Kesef for a Sefer Teda. It wasn't the Lubavitcher Minhag. It simply wasn't realistic. So when the Rebbe took the Kesef out of the box and it put in the Sefer Teda, it suddenly told Lubavitcher Chassidim that sometimes the reason Lubavitchers don't keep certain Minhagim because they couldn't afford it. Not because it's not a Lubavitcher Minhag. Today, when you make a Lubavitcher Sefer Teda, you make it with a beautiful Kesef. This is an initiative that the Rebbe started. So the Rebbe finished the Sefer Teda, he put on the Kesef, and then the Rebbe took the Sefer Teda in his own hands, took the Sefer Teda himself and carried it to the Aron Kedesh. Nesias, Sefer HaTeda, La'Aron HaKedesh, Tachas Chupa, the Rebbe carried the Sefer Teda under a Chupa, Ubelivias Nedes with candles, he put the Sefer Teda in the Aron Kedesh, went back to his place in Fabrengen. Try to imagine how crazy, what kind of pandemonium there was in 770. The place was packed to start with, and everybody has to move and move back. I'm sure many people stayed where they were. The Rebbe sat back down, made a bracha, made a priya eitz, and a shechayonu out loud, and he ate a pri chadash, and then the Rebbe said the maimer all Friday afternoon. Now this was on Friday, and like I said, the mood was very, very charged. It happened b'ashgacha pratas that North African Jews, Moroccan Jews, in the honor of the 20 years of the Rebbe's nesius, sent the Rebbe as a gift a sefer Teda. I don't know if the two were even connected, because they even realized it. So just imagine this. Shabbos was a Fabrengen, which finished around 5 o'clock, let's say. I mean, wintertime, how late could it have been? And there was another Fabrengen scheduled for 9:30 that night. So Shabbos was the Fabrengen of Yud Shvat. Motzei Shabbos would be another Fabrengen, because the Rebbe wanted to be on hookup. And this is the first hookup, by the way. The first hookup was Yud Shvat Tavshin Lamed. In Israel, they heard the Fabrengen live. And it could be on the radio and so forth. So 770 sort of cleared out after the Shabbos Fabrengen. People went home to eat. And the room is like almost entirely empty. The door to 770 opens up. And the Rebbe walks in holding another Sefer Teda. And he walks through almost an empty shul. There's a picture of the Rebbe holding a Sefer Teda. The only person standing next to him is Binyamin Gorodetsky. And you can see empty benches. The room. This is Motzei Shabbos. There wouldn't be a picture on Shabbos. Well, at least I wouldn't tell you about it. Okay, they would walk to the front of the shul with this picture, and they're putting Sefer Teda in. In other words, Binyamin Gorodetsky presented the Rebbe Sefer Teda in his room as a hakaras teda, as an acknowledgement and a thanks from the Jews of North Africa. The Rebbe thanked him for it, and the Rebbe didn't want to keep it in his room. The Rebbe once was asked about keeping a Sefer Teda in his room, and the Rebbe says, I'm thinking about it, but I haven't decided whether to do it or not yet. And he took the Sefer Teda immediately. He could have sent it, and he carried it downstairs, walked through the whole show. This is the end of the story. Okay.